Hey everybody, Nate here. Before the show, I just wanted to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, the Snack Nanny. The Snack Nanny is the latest, greatest spill-proof bowl. It's the first snack bowl for kids with a self-closing door. The Snack Nanny allows kids to snack freely without overeating, keeps kids entertained, and prevents them from creating a mess for mom and dad to clean up. Kids and parents love the Snack Nanny. It's easy to use, easy to clean, and includes portion control features that only the Snack Nanny offers. To order, go to www.snacknanny.com. or order from Amazon. Remember, you support our sponsors and they support us. Thanks, and Nihei Debiru. Hey everybody, this is Chop Talk, and I'm your host, Nate England. If you listen to the show on iTunes, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. Also, be sure to check out the show's page on Facebook. I'd also like to say hi to all the international listeners. I see there are a lot of people listening in Australia, South Africa and Japan, of course, and Europe, especially in the UK. It's really great to see how many people around the world are interested in traditional martial arts. Ezra Scott, the head instructor of McLean's Kosho School of Karate in Nashville, Tennessee, joins us this week for a discussion about this week's episode of Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown, which was filmed in Okinawa. You can watch the full episode on YouTube, and I'll put a link on Chop Talk's Facebook page if you want to check it out. And you can also read a little bit more about the episode on the CNN webpage, and I'll also post a link on Facebook. Ezra and I start off by discussing the recent promotion in Nashville and the upcoming seminar in Cincinnati with Sensei Chushu Fukuhara. On Saturday, November 7th, the Kosho School of Karate will host a seminar by 2014 Japanese National Bato Do Champion Sensei Chushu Fukuhara and 6 members of the Meisuikan Dojo in Naha, Okinawa, including former Chop Talk guest Miwa Kanazawa. The seminar will focus on Jodo, the art of the short staff, but will also include sessions taught by Sensei David Hammond on Shuriru Karate and Miwa Kanazawa on Gojuru Karate. And there's one more instructor who we can't announce just yet, but hopefully I'll be able to do that by next week's Chop Talk episode. Ezra and I go on to discuss some of the fine points of the episode, including Anthony Bourdain's interest in the martial arts, the legacy of World War II in Okinawa, and the karate that was featured on the episode. One detail that I'm kicking myself for not mentioning to Ezra is at the end of the episode, Bourdain and his translator say Kanpai. They're at Dojo Bar in Okinawa, and Anthony Bourdain and the translator say Kanpai. And all the karate masters sitting around the table say Kali. So Kanpai is Japanese for cheers, and Kali is Okinawan or Uchinanguchi for cheers. I found this to be a really neat point, and I don't think the casual watcher would have picked up on it. So just listen for that if you go and watch the episode. For those of you interested in learning more about Ezra Scott and McLean's Kosho School of Karate in Nashville, Tennessee, you can visit www.koshokarate.wordpress.com. To find out more about the seminar with Sensei Chushu Fukuhara, it's coming up, guys, only on November 7th, less than 2 weeks, and the Kosho School of Karate in Cincinnati, call 513-510-3844, email koshoschoolofkarate@gmail.com, or visit the event page on Facebook. I've been posting some videos and photos about the seminar, so definitely check it out. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Chop Talk. This is your host, Nate England. Joining us again today is my good friend, Ezra Scott. How are you doing, Ezra?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Glad to be on the show.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Hey, I heard you guys had a big promotion down there in Nashville.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, it was really extra big for me because Jason Tillman, we promoted him to his first, third round,
right.
Sonic U, and he is the first person that I've ever, the first student I've ever had that made it to that level.
Oh, that's huge.
Point school. So, Richard and Neil both got their black belts with me as the chief instructor.
Right.
But that's not really the same thing because when they started, Mr. McLean was the one that was really teaching all the the classes. So, those guys are kind of my students, but they're also sort of my contemporaries or,
right.
Just my karate brothers where, Jason, of course, he's my karate brother too, but But I consider him to be, you know, my student. I'm the one that's, you know, mostly taught him. So
yeah, absolutely.
It was really, really exciting. He did really good. He had a long, long, hard test and made a good showing of himself.
Oh, that's good.
Tough guy, good guy, good attitude.
Yeah, there's never any doubt about that. You know, he's every time I've met him, worked out with him, he's always been great and on top of it. Form looked good, worked out hard. So, yeah, that was great. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well, hey, man.
Forward to coming up there and seeing you guys.
Oh, yeah. You're coming, right?
Yeah, I'm coming. Yeah. I got my hotel room booked. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, this thing's coming up. I think everybody by now knows what we're talking about. But on Saturday, November 7th, we're having a big seminar here in Cincinnati. My Jodo teacher, Sensei Chushu Fukuhara, who was actually last year's Japanese National Bato Do champion, he's coming along with five other members of the dojo, including Miwa Kanazawa, who's been on Chop Talk a couple of times, and she's going to do some Jodo, but also some karate also. She's a Goju-Ryu practitioner, since a student of Yoshio Kuba. And the pressure is on, man. It's getting down to about 2 weeks from here. I had to meet with the grade school, which is where we're holding the seminar. Got the hotels figured out. Got people coming from all over, but I still got six people coming from Japan, so I'm a little bit nervous.
Yeah, I gotta say, I am too. I'm really looking forward to it. Every time that I've gone and exposed myself to something in martial arts that I just don't know anything about. Mm-hmm. And I'm a complete, rank beginner at, I always learn a lot, and it's always a good experience. But just culturally speaking, I mean, I've never been around anything like that, or anybody like that. That's like a high-ranking Japanese martial arts instructor in that type of a martial art, So I hope that he doesn't have, decapitate me for having big, underarm stains on my karate uniform or something that. I don't really know.
I think
he's a tolerant Bato Do champion.
Yeah, yeah. He's a great guy. Look, he has to be a pretty nice guy if he took me in. If he let me come work at his dojo.
About that. He's been putting up with you this whole time.
Yeah. He'll be fine. It'll be nothing compared to you. And look. It is going to be new. I know that Jodo is not that well known. Even in Japan, people don't know. I've told the story on here before, but when I was living in Japan, people would say, "Oh, you're studying karate, and what else?" "Oh, yeah, I'm studying Jodo." And they go, "Ah, you mean judo." And I said, "No, I mean Jodo." "Ah, stupid gaijin. You mean you go to dojo?" And I said, "No, I mean I'm studying Jodo." "Oh, I don't know what it is. It does not exist." I'm like, all right, buddy, I'm just going to the dojo. But it's going to be good because this is what it's for. It's for people to be introduced to it. So if you don't have any idea and you're interested in it, this is going to be the place to come. We're going to start off most of the people that are going to come are going to be real beginners. Okay, so we're all going to start off at a very basic level.
Sensei Fukuhara knows that and is comfortable with that and everything, I assume.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then as the day goes on, we'll peel off different groups at different levels, and we'll get – all the advanced guys are going to get something too. So, I know we do have some more advanced Jodo people coming up from, I think, Kentucky, maybe down from – Chicago. I'm not sure about Canada yet, but we have some people coming in, so they're going to get something also. But also remember, we're going to have some good karate instructors there too, some great karate instructors.
That's true, yeah.
Sensei Hammond, who's the head instructor here in Cincinnati, is going to be teaching a session. Miwa Kanazawa is going to be teaching a session. And we got our other secret guest, who I can't confirm yet because we got to make sure that he's going to be here. But I think he's a karate guy that everybody knows. So there's another one. So if the Jodo isn't your cup of tea, hey, walk on over and work out the karate, guys. It's okay. There's gonna be something for everybody.
Yeah, and I mean, as usual, with Midwest karate, or with, you know, our kind of group of Midwest karate, you know, even the people that are there, you know, there's a number of people there that are really good karate people, just that'll be working out too. I know.
Oh yeah.
Sensei Kaufman is coming down there.
Yep.
Sensei Jones, Mike Jones, Kurt Jones' son. I think he's going to be there.
Yeah, so yeah.
Both of those guys are really good too.
Yeah, so. These are all people that would be teaching in their own seminar, but I got six people coming from Japan, so. Maybe we'll have another seminar where all the high ranking karate instructors who are coming here to work out, they'll come here and teach next time. But so that's something. Hey, I forgot to tell you, Ezra, we're gonna have Okinawan dancers. We're gonna have an Okinawan dance and drum team from Dayton come down and do a demonstration during the lunch break. It's gonna be really neat, multicultural experience. There's going to be something for everybody. So if you haven't signed up yet, get a hold of us. Go to the events page on Facebook. It's at the Kosho School of Karate page. Go to events. Call me, 513-510-3844. Send an email, koshoschoolofkarate@gmail.com. Time's running out. It's coming up. You know, it's less than 2 weeks after I post this episode, so... Get on it, people.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Looking for a way to gain an edge on the competition? Want to give your body some much-needed relief and relaxation? Try Medical Resort ATAC, Okinawa's specialist in sports therapy and wellness care. ATAC offers customizable massage therapy. Try their oxygen chamber for increased metabolism and faster recovery from injuries. Or take their stretching course to improve flexibility. ATAC is used by professional athletes from the Ryukyu Golden Kings, FC Ryukyu, and Ryukyu Corazon. Stop into their center Monday through Saturday at 12830 Oroku in Naha City, Okinawa. Call 098-859-1890 or visit them on the web at www.sanso-atac.com. That's www.sanso-atac.com. But anyway, speaking of Okinawa, it looks like Anthony Bourdain is jumping on the Chop Talk bandwagon. Did you see his latest episode?
Yeah. Is he gonna be our next guest?
I think so. You know, I might give him a call and see if I can do a phone or
yeah. With him. it's really interesting. That guy, it is a testament to how famous he has gotten that he has that level of autonomy that, like, his travel, you know, food show has now become this thing where he basically is just going around and doing martial arts in different places. Because this isn't the only, the only one. Like, apparently, I've only seen of this incarnation of his show, I've just seen the Okinawa one and the one where he goes to the Bay Area and works out with Kurt Oshiander.
Okay.
But, I mean, apparently there's other... You know, the other ones of these shows, he's also trying to go work out. Because I guess basically the backstory on it is his wife, Octavia, is a Sicilian lady.
Okay.
And, you know, of course, she's, you know, wildly successful financially.
Yeah, sure.
And she didn't have to do anything. And she got into kickboxing. And she really got into it. Like, apparently she's really a pretty, you know, pretty aggressive lady. You know, really likes to throw down and stuff like
that.
She's
a good Italian woman. She likes to scrap.
Yeah, she likes to scrap. Yeah, and she's pretty, you know, she's tough looking too. She pitches it over. She's got traps and stuff like that. Like, she's a, you know, tough lady. So she got into kickboxing in New York City. And then I think the place where she was doing kickboxing was one of Hendo Gracie's academies. And her instructor is like Igor Gracie. He's just another one of those guys from that part of the Hendo's part of the family.
Okay.
And they talked her into taking some jiu-jitsu, and she just really, really liked it, you know, and got really into it. Now I think she's like, I don't know if she's a world champion, but she's pretty good. I mean, she's like competed as a blue belt in Brazil and won, which is pretty good because, you know, a lot of people in Brazil are jiu-jitsu people down there are a little tougher for the most part, apparently.
Okay.
Than what you run into up here. You know, if you win down there, like, you're pretty tough, you know?
Yeah.
But anyways, that was how he got into it. So that's like the guy's only exposure to martial arts, really, is that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty cool that somebody who really only has that level of exposure, that he's like, he might have got his blue belt by now, but like in those shows, he was just a white belt.
Yeah.
That trains pretty good, pretty regularly. That
yeah.
he would want to put something like that on his big, you know, program, and that they would let him.
Yeah,
you know,
it's really interesting.
TV executives are really like, what? Why would you want to? You know, because of course you and I think martial arts is great, but
right.
TV executives, I don't know.
Right. Well, you know, when I first saw the episode that he was doing in Okinawa, I saw it on the CNN webpage, and I'll be honest with you, Ezra, the first thing I did was cringe, because I'm just like, oh, Jesus Christ. Anytime that somebody's doing something that I really am passionate about, my first fear is, oh, Jesus Christ, they're going to fuck this up so bad. And then when I watched it, he did great. It was, they covered so many different aspects that I really think they did a really good job. And if anyone wants to go check out the episode, it is on YouTube for sure. And I'm not sure, there might be a link on the CNN page. You know what? When I post this episode, I'll include a link so that people can go watch and see what I'm talking about. And it really is worth a watch if you're interested in not just martial arts or karate, but any sort of Okinawan or Japanese culture. And they did a very good job of explaining that, hey, Okinawa is not Japan. My mom needs to watch this because when she asked me, she's like, so when you were living in Okinawa, could you just take the train into Tokyo whenever you wanted? And I'm like, well, no, Mom, it didn't quite work like that. I had to get on a plane or a boat for a couple of hours.
Yeah, that's it's definitely not something that many people know about, I don't think, unless they like were in the war or maybe in the Marine Corps or the Navy or something. I know my my granddad definitely, you know, he said, oh, yeah, it's not the same thing. You know, like mm-hmm. The service people seemed to be pretty aware that it was different, you know, and some of
yes.
them that had a bias towards Japanese people, which, you know, most guys who fought in the Pacific did.
Right.
Like, I know, I've heard that about Master Trias before, that he would say, you know, this is Okinawan karate. That was a big deal that, you know, to him. That it was Okinawan karate. It's not Japanese karate. You know,
right,
like
right.
made a big deal out of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's still on the patch and on the books. It's Okinawan Shuriru.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he wanted to emphasize where it originally came from, as opposed to where it branched off to. But the war thing, I think they did a real good job covering the war. And the nice thing that they included there was the line that, you know, more people died in the Battle of Okinawa than died in Hiroshima and Nagasaki combined.
Yeah, which I'm sure is a surprise to people who don't know about that. I think a lot of people don't really understand how bad it was there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're talking about 250,000 to 300,000 people died. You know, that's maybe 15,000 Americans and allies, about 100 and I believe about 135,000 Japanese troops, and then about 100,000 civilians in this few month period during this battle. And I mean, it's just, it's incredible. And if you look at the photos post-war, there is nothing left. I mean, a nuclear bomb may as well have dropped because nothing is left. There are no buildings. There's photos from, they're up on the hill in Shuri Castle, and there's no buildings in all of Naha. And just the sheer number of people that were killed. It's incredible.
I think that's one of those things, too, where it's just like, that's so, I mean, Okinawa aside, it's just impossible for Americans, really, or really probably anybody who didn't grow up in a place where something like that has happened. It's very difficult to fathom what that means to have, like, everything that you recognized not be there anymore, and yeah. more than half of the people that you've grown up with be just gone. And you may not yeah. have ever even seen their body. It may be years before you even know that they're dead for sure, or if ever.
If ever. You know,
they could just be gone. They could just be gone somewhere and come yeah. back 50 years later or something. You yeah. wouldn't know.
No, you wouldn't. Yeah. And, you know, at the time of the battle, there was Okinawa had a population of about 300,000. And I think about 100,000 were able to get off the island to different places. I talked to a few different karate guys who were alive during that time. And, you know, some of them got down to Indonesia, some of them up to mainland Japan, some of them Taiwan, here or there. You know, so really about the half of the people that were left on the island got killed. And they're still finding bodies. Ezra, you know, I remember they were doing... they were doing some construction. They were putting in a new off-ramp or something, or expansion on the mall. And, hey, we just found it. And they announced it. Well, they just found a bunch of bodies from World War II. And, I mean, there's caves in the island where they blocked off the cave because all the bones are still in there. And who knows how many people and who knows who was in there. It's just, that's it.
Yeah, because it probably wasn't safe at all to go down in there. You know, I mean, to the credit of the service people, or even the Japanese military pre-invasion, you know, if you've got a cave that's got, like, a whole bunch of dead people in it, some of them might be soldiers, maybe somebody decided to booby-trap themselves because they knew they were going to die,
mm-hmm.
or just the whole disease element of it, that if there's a bunch of dead bodies in a cave in 1945, they didn't have hazmat suits.
Right.
You know, to go down in there and get all of them, I mean, it might have just not been doable,
yeah.
To deal with that at that time, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And they're still, the other way they're still dealing with it is there's still live munitions that are buried on the island. They were doing, this is down on the southern end of the island near Ginawan, I think, and they were working on the road and somebody hit a 500-pound bomb with a backhoe and the thing detonated. And it blew out all the windows in this retirement home, which is across the street, and it mangled the tractor that the guy was in, and somehow he survived. I don't know how. So I mean, this is something yeah. that's still really fresh in a lot of people's minds. So when they had...
It's a fact of life for a large portion of the world, because... If you think about, there's, you know, so many countries that have had these kind of conflicts. Anthony Bourdain has actually covered, you know, some of that in the other show, like when he went to, like, Cambodia and Laos.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed how that's like a cottage industry of people finding, they just go out into the jungle and find the bombs and then dismantle them and sell the metal, because the farmer in Cambodia can get more money from the metal from one bomb than they would get rice farming the entire year.
Jesus.
And it's horrendously dangerous because
oh, I can imagine.
You're talking about people that don't necessarily even, you know, understand what they're doing, and they just get out there and kind of wing it, you know.
Right.
Yeah, that's just something that, you know, I had a really interesting, one more anecdote
okay.
that I think kind of applies to this, that I actually heard this at a karate event. It was at the Nationals, and, it was me and another karate guy from out west, and Mr. Stouchberry, who's a really nice guy, a really good karate instructor from London. And we were hanging out, and the guy was telling Sensei Paul, that's Mr. Stouchberry, about like his gun collection and stuff like that. And the guy is kind of like the guy from out west, he's a great guy,
mm-hmm.
But he's kind of into sort of like being real prepared for natural disasters and stuff like that.
Right.
He was telling us about that. And I guess since Paul had been talking about how it's kind of blown his mind going to some of these guys, his friends from America's houses, and seeing their guns. He went someplace and the guy was wanting to, you know, shoot the AK-47. And I guess they all thought that would be really exciting for him, and it was not. He does not want to do that. He really doesn't have any interest in that. And, you know, he's a tough guy. he wouldn't tell you that, but you can tell from his anecdotes that,
right,
you know, he's been in a lot more fights than most people at that karate tournament. You know, dudes, people in England throw down a lot, especially when they're young, you know.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. The guy was, our other friend from out west, was asking him, like, don't you, like, worry about that? That, like, if there was, like, you know, some sort of, you know, I don't, you know, all these things that, you know, we talk about on the news all the time in America, like a solar flare or some sort of grid attack or stuff like that.
It's paranoia.
Don't you worry that you won't have any food or water and you won't have any way to defend yourself or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, no, not at all. He was like, and I don't think that almost anybody in Europe really has the resources to do that. Like, we just really don't. He used to say, we really don't have that kind of disposable income. Like, just the average person in America really has, like, a large disposable income in comparison. And then he said the other thing, I thought this was really interesting, is he was like, you guys are always so worried about the world ending. But the thing about people in Europe is the world already ended.
Okay.
Like, we've already been through that. The world already ended. And, you know, we just dealt with it. You know, they firebombed England to nothing.
Right.
And they came back. They just dealt with it. You just figure it out. You stick together. You figure it out. And I thought, man, what a, I mean, you know, the same thing in Asia. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, because what does that mean? What does that really look like to a person, the world ending? What do you really, well, what you're thinking about is your house getting blown off, your kids getting killed, your, well, you know.
Yeah, well, that all happened, you know.
A whole lot of people in, you know, Germany or France or Laos or Vietnam,
Russia,
or Japan, they've all had those experiences. You know, people in America had those experiences in the Civil War, but that's been a long time ago.
That's maybe
been
our
a long, long
our,
time ago.
Our grandparents' time. Oh, maybe a little bit farther than that. Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks. Remember, if you have an upcoming seminar, tournament, or other martial arts event, let us know, and we'd be happy to announce it on the program. And now, back to the show. Yeah, absolutely. It's very fresh in everybody's mind, and that's why I found when he was talking to the former governor, Masahide Ota, I thought that was very interesting. Actually, first of all, I didn't realize that Ota was still alive. I had heard somewhere that he had died, and I checked today, and he is 90 years old, so he's up there.
Wow.
But he was super sharp in that interview.
You were aware of him.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, he wrote a book. This is a really good book for anybody who just wants to find out the broad strokes about the Battle of Okinawa. The book is called "This Was the Battle of Okinawa" by Masahide Ota. It has a sort of, it's a black and white picture with red letters on the cover. She's on there. Definitely worth looking up. Ton of photos, and a lot of writing that explains all the movements, what happened, and again, some of those photos that I was talking about, where there's just nothing left of the whole city. And so he was a guy who was very outspoken and anti-war and anti-base because of that, I thought that he was very interesting. And the other point, one of the young guys, I think he was like half Okinawan guy. His father was in the Navy and his mother was Okinawan, brought up, was that this is something that the older people think about, but the younger people don't really think about anymore. And I don't know if I agree 100%. Now, the older people they all lived through it, and all these people have different stories. I remember one guy teaching me how to eat the husk of the edamame, that was green soybeans.
You told me about that.
Yeah, he taught me how to eat the husk because that's what they had to eat because you know they didn't waste anything. And all these people have very personal experiences, so I can understand why the older people are upset about this. But I don't know that it's only the older people, because the base causes a lot of problems. The Marines aren't raping the 80-year-olds. You know what I mean? I mean, those three Marines pulled that cab driver out of his cab and beat the shit out of him a couple of weeks before I got to the island, which meant I couldn't get any cabs. You know, that was probably a middle-aged guy. So I think that there are a lot of issues that do affect what's going on right now.
Well, anytime somebody says that, I'm sure, you know, if you walked around Nashville right now and asked, you know, two white guys that were 32 and two black guys that were 32, do people in the South think about the Civil War, think about slavery? Probably all four of them would say, nah, not really. Mm-hmm. But I do. So it depends on the person. You know what I mean? You got young people that are concerned with history, like you or I, that see that as a connection and see it as still something that is influencing our daily life. Then you have other more ignorant people who don't think about such things and just go, you know, to the video arcade or, you know what I mean? You know,
well, maybe
like, I'm sure there's plenty of jackass Okinawan kids that don't care about anything. Then there's other Okinawan kids that care very deeply about it, you know.
Well, I think that is true, and I think that Okinawa is becoming more Japanese, because when I talk to the people that are my own age, you know, I've learned a few words and phrases in Okinawan and in Hogan or Uchinanguchi, depending on, there's five different names for the language. All the old people knew it and would talk to me and thought that was great. All the young people didn't know what the hell I was talking about, and I would be teaching them words.
Because they're
more and more aligning with mainland Japan than they were their Okinawan heritage.
Sure, and a lot of, you know, I mean, yeah, because, you know, a lot of people are just not really interested in that kind of stuff. I mean, I know I was talking to one of the other, there's a couple of the guys that come from England to the Nationals every year that are Sikh, and I don't know, I'm not sure. I think Sikhs are from both India and Pakistan. I don't know where those guys' families are from, but you know, they're South Asian guys.
Yep.
And I had just been reading this book by Piers Brendan. It's a good, you know, overview kind of history book. It's called The Rise and Fall of the British Empire, if that sounds familiar, it's because there's The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. That's like a really famous I may be botching the name, but it's a famous history overview of the Roman Empire, and he's kind of imitating that.
Mm-hmm.
But I had been reading about, like, the Raj and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, of course, I just thought that was just fascinating, and I was asking him about that, and, like, partition and stuff like that, and he was just like, dude, I don't know. Like, what, he thought it was real funny. Like, he kind of laughed at me. He was like, you know more about it than I do. I don't know. You know, I don't know. You know, like, that was, to him, that was not part of being British or being Sikh, was, like, knowing about all that, you know?
Right.
Which he's just not, and that doesn't, like, make him a dumbass or something. He's just not into that.
He's just not interested.
You know?
Yeah.
Everybody's not into the same thing. I mean, it's just like, you know, everybody can't be an expert on throwing stars. Somebody's got to be an expert on boxing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And somebody else, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know. But yeah, I think Anthony Bourdain usually does a pretty good job of that. You know, he's not scared to have in the program stuff that's really pretty grim. And then also stuff that's really pretty lighthearted. Because that's life. Life's pretty grim. And then sometimes life is lighthearted too, you know. And some of the grimmest places are a lot of times some of the most happy places too, just because folks are just like, well, life's tough, let's be happy, you know? Yeah. Let's not spend a lot of time being real depressed, you know? Yeah. So, I think he...
Mawari no hito ni sa wo sukete imasen ka? Anata no karada wa kyusoku wo hitsuyo to shite imasen ka? Sports massage, kenkou no specialist, Medical Resort ATAC wo ichido torai shite mite kudasai. ATAC de wa okyaku sama no karada ni awaseta massage wo okunaimasu. Mata, ATAC no sanso shitsu ni mo torai shite mite kudasai. Taisha koujo, kega no soki kaifuki ni kikimasu. Junansei wo takameru, stretching course ni mo torai shite mite kudasai. ATAC wa pro chimu, Rukyu Golden Kings, FC Rukyu, soshite Rukyu Korazan no senshu mo ryo shite masu. Zehi ichido goraiten kudasai. Open, getsuyobi kara, doyobi made, Okinawa ken, Naha shi, Oroku, 1 no 28 no 30. Denwa bango, 098-859-1890. Homepage mo cheko shite mite kudasai. www.sanso-atac.com www.sanso-atac.com Ego, Portugalgo, Spengo, Nihongo ga hanaseru staff ga imasu. Hey, what did you think about him trying to pull his jiu-jitsu moves on the karate guys?
Oh, he just doesn't know. I don't know. But they only showed just a few seconds of that. It was really hard to tell what was going on there. I mean, they may have asked him what he would do or something like that, because those guys may be, like, totally unfamiliar with that and be like, what the hell is that, and why does he have a gi with a pit bull on it or something? You know what I mean? Like, they may be, you know.
Yeah.
So who knows? Well, I don't know.
He
know?
Did bring
but,
it
I mean,
up.
The thing you got to remember is the dude's a white belt.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of cut him a little bit of a break, you know.
Yeah, I know. He did bring it up a few times. He brought it up when they were eating in the fish market, and then he brought it up when they were in the dojo, and then again at the end when they were at dojo bar. And I know he doesn't know what he's talking about, but you know the part where he was tapping and the guy wouldn't stop? That probably had something to do with it to a certain degree.
Well, yeah, but I've heard that guy's not all that cool. So, you know,
I never have met Hokama Sensei. He has the karate museum. And I have heard some stories about some people getting hurt when they've gone to work out with him. So, you know, there might be a little bit of personality thing, but,
Of course, you know, they might want to put up with him running his mouth about BJJ a little bit, because that's the only time that dude's ever going to be on CNN in his life talking about karate. So,
that's true.
Anthony Bourdain is over there hooking it up for all the dudes, you know?
Well,
seriously, that guy probably gave Okinawa $500,000 or something next year because of all the rich people from New York that'll be like, oh, let's go to Okinawa, you know?
Right. You know, that's true, but, you know, when I was over there, there was a BBC crew, and actually, they had talked to me at one point about being involved in this film that they were making, and the problem that the BBC crew had was they just hadn't done any homework at all. They came over there and thought it was going to be like Karate Kid, where they were going to take these people and put them in a dojo and get them promoted to black belt in 3 weeks.
They're just totally ignorant of it.
Yeah, and
But Nate, look, this is the thing. There is an entire group of karate people that are totally ignorant of Okinawa, which is news to me because I grew up being in Okinawan karate, at least, you know, around Okinawan karate people But I mean, I've met a number of Japanese karate people who I even heard one Japanese karate guy, and he actually was a pretty high-ranking Japanese guy, talking about how in Okinawa it was called Kodai, and we came up with the word karate. And karate is really our thing. Kodai is like this primitive kind of thing that they used to do. Yes. Like, I mean, I'm serious, man. I don't think he understands that they still do it over there.
Yeah, I believe
like,
that
it's effective or anything.
And Ezra, and that's was more of my point with the jiu-jitsu thing. And that is also that because the Japanese are coming down from mainland and saying this to the Okinawans do have a little chip on their shoulder because they feel that the Japanese stole this from them to a certain degree. And then you go a step beyond that and you get into kickboxing. And you go a step beyond that and you get into MMA. And I know Anthony Bourdain didn't mean any harm by it, but those are some of the things that you can bring up to kind of get some doors shut in your face.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Because these guys have that feeling. It's like, hey, we're in Okinawa. We want to talk about Okinawan karate. You know, someone's been doing it in my neighborhood for the last 600 years. Let's focus on that instead of what Ronda Rousey's doing this week. Okay, and that's all for this week's show. Thanks to Ezra Scott for calling in. For those of you interested in learning more about Ezra Scott and McLean's Kosho School of Karate in Nashville, Tennessee, you can visit www.koshokarate.wordpress.com. To find out more about the Kosho School of Karate in Cincinnati, Ohio, and the upcoming seminar with Sensei Chushu Fukuhara on November 7th, call 513-510-3844, email koshoschoolofkarate@gmail.com, or visit the school's page on Facebook. Seminar's coming up, people, less than 2 weeks away. You're not going to find a better chance to learn about Jodo than this. Nihiribiru and mata ya. Everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.